Ellen and Jack lived a simple, frugal life for the next 11 years. The forest gave them all they needed, as long as they were careful to store enough apples and nuts and salted or smoked venison for the winter months. Ellen often thought that if there were no kings and lords and bishops and sheriffs, then everyone could live like this and be perfectly happy. Tom asked her how she dealt with the other outlaws, men such as Faramond Openmouth. What would happen if they crept up on her at night and tried to rape her, he wondered, and his loins stirred at the thought, although he had never taken a woman against her will, not even his wife. The other outlaws were afraid of Ellen, she told Tom, looking at him with her luminous, pale eyes, and he knew why. They thought she was a witch. As for law-abiding people traveling through the forest, people who knew they could rob and rape and murder an outlaw without fear of punishment, Ellen just hid from them. Why then had she not hidden from Tom? Because she had seen a wounded child and wanted to help. She had a child herself. She had taught Jack everything she had learned in her father's household about weapons and hunting. Then she had taught him all she had learned from the nuns, reading and writing, music and numbers, French and Latin, how to draw, even the Bible stories. Finally, in the long winter evenings, she had passed on the legacy of the Frenchman, who knew more stories and poems and songs than anyone else in the world. Tom did not believe that the boy Jack could read and write. Tom could write his name and a handful of words, such as pence and yards and bushels, and Agnes, being the daughter of a priest, could do more, although she wrote slowly and laboriously with her tongue poking out of the corner of her mouth. But Alfred could not write a word and could barely recognize his own name, and Martha could not even do that. Was it possible that this half-witted child was more literate than Tom's whole family? Ellen told Jack to write something, and he smoothed a patch of earth and scratched letters in it. Tom recognized the first word, Alfred, but not the others, and he felt a fool. Then Ellen saved his embarrassment by reading the whole thing aloud. Alfred is bigger than Jack. The boy quickly drew two figures, one bigger than the other, and although they were crude, one had broad shoulders and a rather bovine expression, and the other was small and grinning. Tom, who himself had a talent for sketching, was astonished at the simplicity and strength of the picture scratched in the dust. But the child seemed an idiot. Ellen had lately begun to realize this, she confessed, guessing Tom's thoughts. Jack had never had the company of other children, or indeed of other human beings, except for his mother, and the result was that he was growing up like a wild animal. For all his learning, he did not know how to behave with people. That was why he was silent and stared and snatched. As she said this, she looked vulnerable for the first time. Her air of impregnable self-sufficiency vanished, and Tom saw her as troubled and rather desperate. For Jack's sake, she needed to rejoin society. But how? If she had been a man, she might conceivably have persuaded some lord to give her a farm, especially if she had lied convincingly and said she was back from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or Santiago de Compostela. There were some women farmers, but they were invariably widows with grown sons. No lord would give a farm to a woman with one small child. Nobody would hire her as a laborer, either in town or country. Besides, she had no place to live, and unskilled work rarely came with accommodation provided. She had no identity. Tom felt for her. She had given her child everything she could, and it was not enough. But he could see no way out of her dilemma. Beautiful, resourceful, and formidable though she was, she was doomed to spend the rest of her days hiding in the forest with her weird son.